And you know I don't watch that shit.
Why not? Too scared?
No, it's just, what's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Because nobody admits anything they've done!
Hey guys, what is up? It is Jess, and we are back with another episode of the Scream Queens. I wanted to hop on really fast before we get into the audio and kind of explain a little bit about this episode. It's a little different than normal. For one, I really don't have my voice. I'm not going to lie. So please excuse me if my voice goes in and out. Opening weekend was a lot of fun, and I screamed and I talked a lot. But you will also notice that Cece and I are not recording together for this episode. Just wanted to let you guys know, kind of come on and explain that. We're both super busy once HHN started. We both have like guest spots and other things going on in our lives. So we couldn't find a time to record this week, but we didn't want to not release the episode for you guys, especially because HHN just started and there's so many of you who haven't even gone yet. So we wanted to release something. So we recorded our initial opening weekend spoiler-free reactions, reviews, whatever we want to call it, separately, and I'm kind of splicing them together to make an episode. So I'm actually going to have Cece go first, I believe, and then I'm going to kind of come in with my own opinions and not really cover anything she talked about. I'm just going to add on to it because she already said a lot of what I was going to say, and it's really awesome. So I'm going to let Cece take it away, and then I will be back with a promo corner and then my spot. So Cece, take it away.
Hello, boils, ghouls, and non-binary creatures of the darkness. I am Cece from the Scream Queens. I'm here to talk about my thoughts on opening weekend. So first off, before I go forward with this, I just want to say, before I say anything else, I want to thank Universal Orlando Resort with the bottom of my heart. And I know Jess as well, obviously, feels the same. But yes, I want to thank Universal Orlando Resort, Halloween Horror Nights Orlando, Ops, everyone who is involved in creating these lists for content creators, for Media Night, things like that. These events that they invite us to are one of a kind. This is our first ever time, both Jess and I, at the event as content creators, excuse me, and together as, you know, the Scream Queens. We got that invite to do essentially like a media night. So what we did was, just to get a kind of a brief overview, I'm not going to go into it too much because we may actually talk about this in more in depth in another episode. Essentially, we did get to film in the houses, take pictures in the houses, you know, that type of thing. We were with an RIP tour group. Shout out to Haley, who was an incredible RIP tour guide. Haley, if you're listening, hopefully you are. You are incredible. You knew all of your knowledge. You had that down pat. You were theatrical, which I love because I'm a big theater nerd. Same with Jess. So I really love that aspect of it. And you listened. You talked to us. You got to know us. And that was really cool. And you made it very personal. And we really, really appreciate that. Thank you again. You know, we did a little UO fist bump on Twitter, but I really want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart. You were an incredible tour guide. The group I was with was a great group of content creators. Thank you guys for being, you know, awesome and going through the houses with us and being fun and being a great group to be around. You know, there were mostly people we knew in this group, which was really cool and exciting. Some people we got to meet for the first time that we've been interacting with on Twitter, and that was really awesome as well. Shout out to HN Nightmares. We got to see some other people as well. Shout out to Catacombs, Hunter and Matt, and shout out to HHN365. We got to hang with Duff as well. It was just a great group all around and such an incredible experience. So until I go more into that, I just wanted to say that, you know, kind of as an opening thing. And thank everyone involved, and thank you for involving the Scream Queens, both me, Cece, and Jess. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to move on now to kind of my spoiler-free review of the event. So personally, let's kind of go with how the night went. This makes it a little easier for me to remember it. It was a lot. It was very intense. It was very exciting. So, you know, and it was our first time seeing anything as well. And plus we were in an RIP group tour. So, you know, if you've ever been in one, it's kind of very intense. You kind of, especially with media, because they want to get us through as much as they can within the amount of hours that they have with us. So we did complete all 10 houses. We got a glimpse of the Lagoon show, and we got a couple glimpses, walkthroughs of some of the scare zones. I will be reporting more as the season goes, because I will be seeing more and being in the scare zones more and just be able to break everything down a little bit better in the future. But as of right now, this is kind of what our night was like. So our first house that we got to do was Case Files Unearthed Legendary Truth. As you know, this is following the private eye, Boris Schuster. And he, from trying to remember exactly, I believe the story takes place in New Jersey. I do know that this being my first house was very hard to remember all the details. And the fact that I've only gone through it once so far, I have so many plans on visiting this house more and more as the season goes. And the reason why is because this house is so unique, so story driven. That's all I'm really going to say on that, outside of what you can already read on the website and things like that. We kind of did a little bit of vlogging as we went through. Instant reactions as soon as we got out of the houses, which you can check out on our YouTube. Just wanted to let you know about that as well. But yeah, so this house, you know, without saying too much, my review of it is that it's going to be one of those houses that blows up, in the sense of, like, a lot of people who aren't maybe longtime fans of the event or don't really even know a lot of the lore, they may not be understanding of this house right off the bat. However, excuse me, I had to yawn. However, I do believe that this house is going to be one of those houses that kind of becomes popular with word of mouth. That happens to a lot of the original houses. And I'll actually speak on that more later with another house I want to talk about. But yeah, so again, Case Files Unearthed, fantastic house, very story driven, and I love that. It has a film noir feel. I love that as well. And it also has that private eye, gumshoe kind of feel to it. So for me, I'm going to go based on only seeing it once and it being my first house of the night. Again, I'm going to go with an 8 out of 10 on this one. I might have said different in my instant reaction video. So just this is my more thought out process on this show rather than the instant reactions we did right out of the YouTube channel. These are more me kind of sitting on these houses and kind of taking them in and really realizing what, you know, what we feel. Great house. Gonna move on. Next house we did, I want to say that we did Universal Monsters, The Bride of Frankenstein Lives. So this was a house that was at HHN Light last year. If a lot of you did get to see it, some of you didn't. So for the people who didn't get to see it, I'm really glad they brought it back. It is an absolutely beautiful house. If you're a fan of the Universal Monsters, but you also like modern day twists on things, you'll absolutely love this house, especially if you think that feminism is awesome, because the story is all about the bride being a badass. And this house is, again, absolutely gorgeous. I remember it being, so I only got to see it one time during Light. So again, this is only my second time seeing this house, and it's so much better than what I remember it being. I'm going to go ahead and give this one also an 8 out of 10. I would like to see it again more and more as the season goes, as I said. But that's what I feel about The Bride of Frankenstein Lives. From The Bride of Frankenstein Lives, I do believe we went into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. This house, I'm not going to say much because it's not what you think it is. So I remember when we first got word of this house, I think the description mentioned something about stepping inside of the 1974 film. However, it looks like they have updated their description a bit, and it does look a little bit more like what we saw. I'm not going to say much more than that, but what I would say is if you want to completely understand this house, and if you completely want to get into the mind of the Sawyer family, I would go ahead and try to watch as many of the films as you can before you do enter this house. Now, obviously, you don't have to. There's still great scares. There's still things you don't need to know about it. But if you are a big fan, or you want to just be able to soak in all the information, I would definitely recommend checking out at least the earlier half of the franchise, definitely. So this house, on scare factor, I thought it was going to be a lot scarier, because if you've known me and you've known my experiences with Texas Chainsaw in 2007, I had a really rough experience. However, I'm going to go ahead and say scare factor, I was not as scared of this one. So scare factor, I would say, is a little low. However, again, it can get scarier as the season goes. Actually, I went to it again on Saturday night, and it actually was a bit scarier the second night. Actually, all the houses I went through, I think I only went through two that night, but they were still scarier than the first night. I digress, though. So when it comes to scare factor, I would say about a 7 out of 10 for Texas. But when it comes to being a fangirl of some of the movies in the franchise, I would give this one also an 8 out of 10. So moving on, we did, I believe what we went through next was Revenge of the Tooth Fairy. This was, again, another house that they had at HHN Light that a lot of people did or didn't get to view. I was actually one of the people who did get to view both Revenge of the Tooth Fairy and Universal Monsters of Bride of Frankenstein Lives whenever I went to HHN Light. And I'm very appreciative of that fact. They're both great houses. And I feel like a lot of times, because people have already seen them at that event, they think that they want to sleep on it at a later time. They think that they don't need to have to re-see it. I disagree. Here's the reason why. Especially with Tooth Fairy, we got a lot more Tooth Fairies this time. A lot more scare actors were implemented because, you know, of the pandemic. We still obviously had some vinyl and things like that in the house, but none of that took away from the scares, in my opinion. We have more Tooth Goblins, as I like to call them, and it was a great house. I still think it holds up really well. Because I've seen this one probably more than any of the other houses, though, because of Light, would be the only reason that, like, I would say that I might not do it as much this year as the others. But I still think it's a great house and it holds up for sure. Overall, like, storyline, I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10. I still think it's great. A lot of people shit on it. You know what? I think it's a great house. So definitely check it out. From then, we get to a really big one. We then got to see HHN Icons Captured. Wow. This house. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. This house was incredible. If you're a fan of the event, and if you're a fan of the Icons, you will love this house. I don't care how much you love the Icons or don't love the Icons. If you like them in any way, you will absolutely adore this house. And if you know enough about them and their backstories, this house really honestly takes a deep dive into everyone's all the Icons, like, backstories, like I said, and their psyche. And there's a lot of Easter eggs in this house that you have to kind of get as you go through multiple times. I have had now the pleasure of going through this house three times. First time we got to do it twice. I did got to do it again on Saturday night. And I will continue to go through this house very often, because the facade just takes you away. The music that plays in the facade is such a banger. It just kind of gets you prepared and gets you excited. So again, without saying too much, Icons right now for me is going to be a 10 out of 10. Absolutely. Then moving on, I believe we went back towards the other half of the park. I believe what happened next was that we went to Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was a really fun house, I'll tell you that. So if you have anybody in your group who may be their first time at HHN, or they're scared and they're just not sure how they're going to vibe with the houses, this is going to be the house that you're going to want to go to first with that person in your group. Because again, this house was more fun than anything, and it was also a really good homage to the film. If you've seen the film, you pretty much are going to know everything that's going on in the house. I think it does a good job of telling the story of the house. I know my instant reaction wasn't like the greatest. It just felt a little underwhelming. I don't know why. I think maybe because everyone hyped it up during HHN Light and I didn't get to see it then. So this was my first ever time seeing it. And like thinking back on it more now, though, my instant reaction was kind of more like it was underwhelming. But thinking back on it now, maybe I just didn't have the greatest run in the house. And I think that I will enjoy it a lot more throughout the season, especially when I just want a break from straight up scares and I kind of just want something fun and exciting. So Beetlejuice, I'm going to give a 6 out of 10 at this time. Again, that can change. There's nothing against anyone involved in the house because you are all wonderful. You scare actors, by the way, I'm going to take a second and step on my soapbox about the scare actors. You guys are doing a fantastic job this year. Do not let anyone tell you differently. Don't take any rankings as you are not doing a good job. It is not about you. You are all kicking ass. This is more of a matter of content. And again, a lot of the IPs, and this is something I've noticed too, it's very hard to perfect IP houses. And the reason is because they don't have a lot of that creative freedom that they would have with their original houses. And I think that's my biggest issue with Beetlejuice, is because unfortunately a lot of there's legality issues with some of the actors involved in the movie. Don't want their likenesses being shown in the house, things like that. I think that's the main thing. It has nothing to do with you guys being scare actors. You guys are fantastic. All right, so please just understand that, okay? So moving on from Beetlejuice, we were in the back, in the tent houses. So we walked right over to The Haunting of Hill House from Netflix. Again, this one was very hard to determine how I feel about it because I feel like I almost had a bad walkthrough on this. Sometimes, like, it's not a matter of who's scare acting or the way it goes, but sometimes what'll happen is if you're in a certain part of the conga line or whatever, you won't really get the scares as much. It'll either be somebody like right in front of you or somebody right behind you. And sometimes that does happen and it's nobody's fault. So I think it's just a bad run that I had with The Haunting of Hill House. I would say it's very eerie. The facade is gorgeous, but I would love to see this house again since I'd only seen it the one time. And as of right now, I think I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 as well. All right. So moving on from there, we took a little break in the middle of the night. I know that. So I believe the next house, what we did was we went to Puppet Theater Captive Audience. And this house was absolutely beautiful. I knew it would be. I'm a big theater person. Yes, I don't like dolls and things like that. I find them creepy, but I think that they did an amazing job of making them creepy. This house was also very gory, and you guys know that I love gory things. So for me, this house was incredible. I only did it the one time, so I'm still soaking it in. And trying to remember how much detail went into this house. And it's just, it's mind-blowing. I actually really cannot wait to visit this house again. I feel like it's going to definitely be in my possibly top 3, but I know it's definitely in my top 4 as of right now. So it's worth it. Puppet Theater, I'm going to go ahead and give that a 9 out of 10. All right, moving on, we did The Wicked Growth, Realm of the Pumpkin next. And my gosh, guys, I'm telling you right now, best house I went through. Now, I'm not saying that over Icons because Icons is perfect. However, The Wicked Growth, Realm of the Pumpkin just took me by surprise. It was, in my opinion, a perfect Halloween house. And not just a Halloween house. The scares were really great. The costumes were fantastic. The smell in Wicked Growth was just, it just brought you right in the moment. There's so much more I could say about the Wicked Growth Realm of the Pumpkin, but I'm going to tell you right now, this was my number one house of the night. I cannot wait to visit it again, show all my friends. You guys that are scare acting there are doing a great job. Because I feel like this was the one that really caught me off guard the most, and it was just so much fun. 10 out of 10. Absolutely. Favorite house of the night. And then I believe our last house was Welcome to Scary, Horror in the Heartland. So this house I've been very, very excited about. As you guys have listened to the show, you know Jess and I were very, very excited and had this high on our list for Hype List. So we went through this house. As an HHN fan, this house had so much nostalgia and so much fun and Easter eggs and things like that. However, I don't think the scare factor was hyped up as much. Again, it could have been another weird run that I had. I am absolutely ready to try this house again multiple times because I absolutely love the history of Cary, Ohio. And a lot of the houses that are represented in this house are some of my favorites I've ever had of the event. So, right now, again, just based on the one run I had, I'm going to give Scary a 7 out of 10 for now. Again, I believe all of these rankings will go higher and higher as the season comes, but I just wanted to do a quick like little review. So moving on from the houses, we did get to see a few scare zones. Mostly we got to walk through them. A few people in our group kind of stopped to take a bit more pictures and video. I tried to kind of go through them quickly because I know we wanted to get the houses done. And I actually have all season really to go back through these scare zones and kind of just even vibe in them and hang out. So Crypt TV was really cool, honestly. I didn't get to stop really in there much. I kind of just blazed through it. However, like I said, I have time that I'm going to go back and do it more. But wow, they really did a great job bringing those shorts to life. The creatures and the characters and monsters that they brought on the streets look incredible. You guys look incredible in those costumes. So again, I'm not going to rank the scare zones. I don't think I've seen them enough to do that just yet. But I just wanted to give like kind of my overall thoughts and what I've thought about it. 30 years, 30 fears. So I didn't actually get to see this on the first night, but I did go through it a little bit on the second night on my way out of the park. I think this is a really cool like zone to kind of vibe in. It's a good zone to just kind of walk through when you're entering the park. Just kind of get yourself ready for HHN. You know what I mean? It's one of those hype zones, which I think is perfect. We don't actually have the official icons in this zone, but we do have some like other characters that are in the lore, or just like have shown and appeared in past HHN. It's a really cool zone anyway. Like you guys have seen pictures of the construction and things like that. The big poster boards of the icons are there. And there's a lot of fog and some pyrotechnics and some lights. And it's really cool. It's just one of those ones you can just vibe in. Kind of like what Anarcade was last year. 2019. Seek and Destroy. So that's over in New York. So Seek and Destroy is about the alien cyber regime that's led by the Controller. They take over New York. Basically, they're trying to turn humans into fuel. This is so cool. This zone is getting a lot of hate lately, and I don't know why. Again, it's another fun zone to just kind of vibe in. I don't know if they have a name, but like the little alien like people that walk around with the chainsaws or they're like on stilts. They're just so cool. They just walk up to you and like look at you funny with their little masks. They kind of like cock their heads or they like come up to you and run and yell chainsaw noises and just weird shit like that. Like, it's just fun. It's, again, scare zones are more of a vibe than anything, in my opinion. And it's just kind of fun to just hang out, take pictures, let them mess with you, stuff like that. But the whole premise behind it, I think, is awesome. It reminds me of like, it's hard to say what it reminds me of. Almost post-apocalyptic in a way, but obviously, because then there's aliens as well. But it's just really cool. I think it doesn't deserve all the hate it's getting. Then we move on to the Terror Queen herself in Gorewood Forest. This zone is actually really incredible. I went through it about 3 times, but it was because we were trying to get from place to place throughout the park. And I got to see it all mostly at night. I would love to see it during the day. I want to get some better pictures of the zone. But, oh my gosh, it is absolutely beautiful. The, you know, the architecture that's over there is incredible. You know, the Terror Queen looks great. And I am excited again to go back through there and especially to take some pictures during the day so I can get a better view. Last but not least, we have Lights, Camera, Action, Eddie's Revenge. So this was the scare zone, I think, that Jess and I both had at the top of our list for hype. Unfortunately, it was raining the first half of our night on Friday, so we didn't really get to see this zone. There were no actors out due to safety reasons because of the rain. I did get to see a little bit of chaos towards the end of the night, but I did not actually get to walk through and kind of like soak it all in. Neither did I on Saturday. So unfortunately, I can't say much about this zone yet, but I'm very excited to see how it goes once I am able to visit the event more and make a better just be able to see it better and understand it better, and then I can tell you how I feel. But yeah, so that's it for the scare zones. As for the live entertainment, unfortunately, like I said, we caught the tail end of Marathon of Mayhem Carnage Factory, which was beautiful. The water fountains, the lights, they're incredible. I want to see this show in its full capacity when it start to finish. I heard it's great, and I'm also hearing amazing things about Halloween Nightmare Fuel. So excited to see both of these. And I didn't do any of the attractions at the event, which obviously because I was trying to focus more on the Halloween Horror Nights side of things. So yeah, I mean, that's just my quick spoiler-free review of the event, my instant reaction to the first weekend. Again, I just want to say thank you again to Universal Orlando Resort for inviting the Scream Queens to do this. We have this great opportunity with you guys. It really means a lot to us. We hope, you know, for more of that in the future. We did get to try some fun foods. And again, we will probably talk a little bit more in depth about that in the future. And then also just make sure to check out our YouTube channel. It's very new. If you like the content, definitely subscribe. We do have a few videos up already. We did a walkthrough of the tribute store, and Jess is actually working on posting the few highlight videos from some of the houses from opening night. So definitely check that out. It is the Scream Queens podcast. If you search on YouTube, we also have it on our Twitter, which is @ScreamQueens85. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for letting me do this quick spoiler-free review. And I hope that they change to much more positive numbers throughout the season. I'm sure they will. You guys are kicking ass. Continue to kick ass. Ops, scare actors, everybody at Universal, you guys are awesome. All right, have a great night, and we'll see you in the fog.
All right, guys. Thank you, Cece, for your spoiler-free review. That was awesome. I kind of agree with a lot of it. So I won't repeat much in mine. But before I get into mine, I did want to say we actually have a promo corner this week, guys. And this is someone that we finally got to meet face-to-face on opening night. They were part of our media group. It is Angel. She was there with Sean from HN Nightmares. We loved meeting them. We got to hang out with them all night. They were in our tour group. She is actually making HHN Icons inspired jewelry sets. You can buy the necklace or the bracelet separately or together. She just opened her Etsy shop. It is called AMT Emporium. I will have that link below. But you guys should definitely check it out. She has all of the icons. Well, maybe not all of them. Excuse me. The ones that she offers right now are Bloody Mary, The Caretaker, Chance, The Director, Eddie, Fear, Jack the Clown, Lady Luck, Storyteller, and The Usher. So definitely go check those out. They look like really good quality. She was showing me them on Friday, and she's finally got them up. I'm getting that Daddy Kane set. You cannot stop me. Definitely go check that out. And if you wanted to follow her on Instagram, on Twitter, her Instagram is @AngelT18. Definitely check her out. Check out her jewelry. We'll have it linked below. We'll also share that on Twitter. But like I said, I'm getting that Daddy Kane set. I'm pretty sure Cece's going to be getting that Chance set if I know her well enough. But yeah, so let's get into our spoiler-free review. Cece already said a lot of it. I'm just going to kind of reiterate. We were invited out by Universal Orlando Resort to be part of their media event on opening night. We got to go to the event. We had a reception in the horror makeup lobby. We got to try some of the food, try some of the drinks. It was amazing. We also got to see the Jacked Up experience over at Cabana Bay. That was actually where we started our night. It's interesting. I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I think it's a really cute photo op, but I don't think it's an experience. I think kind of calling it the Jacked Up experience is calling it something bigger than it actually is. It's two glorified photo ops. I'm not going to lie to you guys. One of them is the blender, though, and I will say that was kind of worth it to me. But we didn't have to wait in a very long line. We were media. We were there to see it and go. So if it's a long line, I would maybe skip it and come back earlier in the day. It opens from 2 to 10 p.m. every single day. It's only open to Universal Orlando Resort guests, and Cabana Bay guests actually have their own express line. So go check it out if you're there. I would check it out if I was at Cabana or maybe Aventure or Sapphire across the street. If I'm over at Hard Rock or Portofino, I'm probably not going to, you know, walk to City Walk, take a bus all the way over there and stuff like that, just to see it. But if you're interested in taking a picture with a replica of the blender, and then the second photo op was that mannequin of Jack the Clown that was in the tribute store last year, as well as a video message from Jack the Clown, James Keaton himself, which was really cool. But I don't want to overhype something that you guys maybe think is something it's not. It's cool. If you're a history nerd, if you want to take the pictures, definitely go check it out. But I probably won't be back there this season. It was really nice to see, and I do appreciate that we got a chance to see it. There also is the Icons Bar down at the Swizzle Lounge in the lobby at Cabana Bay. I did get a chance to try a drink from there. I didn't have any of the Icon drinks. I don't remember what I tried. It was whiskey-based. I know Duff from 365 and Hunter from Catacombs and GGH were there. I actually met them in the lobby, and they were both trying the Chance drink, and they were not fans of it. So I avoided that. The director is a take on a White Russian, and I really didn't want dairy right before I went into HHN. and the Jack was a Jack and Coke. So the Icons drinks are fun, but they're not anything crazy. You know, the two people I saw said they weren't great. So I tried something else. It was pretty good. I do know that they already ran out of edible glitter opening weekend for a couple of the drinks. But check out that bar. It's open to anyone. You don't have to be a resort guest. And there was really no line when I went there on Friday. The longest line was for check-in at Cabana. but from there, they bust us over to Universal. I will say the nicest part of everything is that we did not get stuck in that opening night rain like everybody else did. Not trying to brag, but like, they made sure we were not stuck in the water. They gave us ponchos, walked us through the park, brought us to horror makeup. We tried some of the food. I got to try that donut slider. And guys, go get that fucking slider. I'm not even kidding. It might be my favorite thing, but I haven't tried the grilled cheese yet. I'm trying those tomorrow on Thursday. We also got to try two of the drinks. We got to try the Poison Tea Party and Ghoul Juice. I didn't think I was going to be a fan of the Poison Tea Party, and it has become my favorite so far. I was also able to try a couple of the other drinks on Saturday, including the margarita. And I think that's it. I don't think I've gotten to try Bog Slime yet, but I don't think I'm going to like that one very much. Ghoul Juice was so sweet, it tastes like candy. And when I'm really hot and waiting in lines, I don't really want that. So Poison Tea Party was my way to go. It was like an Arnold Palmer with alcohol. So definitely try that out. And also, they were giving us the little glasses that we saw in the when they announced the food and drinks. They were like those little tiny glasses. But when I went out on Saturday, I didn't get a blinky cup, and they were giving us full-size Poison Tea Parties. So I think they've changed that, or maybe that was just for media. But I also heard on opening night, the stands were giving out those small cups as well. So I don't know about that, but if you want the Poison Tea Party, just ask for a regular cup. You get so much more. I'm going to try more of the food and drink this week, and we'll probably have like a whole review episode on that. I'm not even going to lie. But I'm trying to think what else. We did try pumpkin guts. It is not for me. But I have a texture issue. So if you don't like a lot of textures, that might not be for you. I heard that the vegan barbecue plate was fantastic. I'm very excited to try that. We also got to try, oh my goodness, what else did we get to try? The wings, the ribs from the Jack tent. We got to try the gyoza, which was very good. We also had some of the desserts. There was the Frankenstein cupcake. The vegan brownie was available to us, as well as a Bride of Frankenstein cupcake. That was super cute, but turned everyone's mouths black. And then from there, we got, I'm sorry, what was her name? I believe her name is Allie. I think she's the head of PR for Universal. She was there. She gave us a little speech about what was to come, told us we were going to go into the horror makeup theater. We were put in there in our groups. I will say our group was fantastic. We had pretty much all the podcasts. So we had 365, we had Catacombs, we had Us, we had HN Nightmares, like I said, we had Harry from Freaks of HHN. It was fantastic. I'm probably missing 1,000 people, but we got split up into those groups. An RIP guide came out and spoke to us and gave us the rules. And then all the lights went out and suddenly Jack the Clown was in there. And he, you know, the lights went out again and then he appeared on stage behind the guide. Scared her, and then Eddie came out. I will say I had chills. I can't even like form words right now. It was James Keaton as Jack, and for someone like me who had never seen the icons, to see Jack the Clown as my first icon face to face, and it is the man who made Jack the Clown, what he is and the character he is, was just chills. I got a little emotional. All of this is in our vlog, I'm not even gonna lie, but like I'm so shaky, so I'm trying to articulate it now. It was amazing. And then the Chainsaw Gang from Eddie's Zone actually came out and pushed us all out of the theater into our groups. And then we went out into the park. Our tour guide, Haley, was amazing. She was so energetic. She knew these stories upwards, downwards, left, right. Any questions anyone had, she was on it. I know Cece already gave her props. And we gave her a fist bump from the Scream Queens Twitter account. But guys, she is amazing. If you're going on an RIP tour, request her. She was so much fun. And I believe we also had Todd. There were two guides for each group kind of to keep track of us because we were all over the place. But from there, we went out. And I'm going to kind of talk about what we did. I won't lie. I did not get to see many of the zones besides Gorewood and Crypt, I think, once. Seek and Destroy, we walked through. But the first time we went through the Eddie Zone, there were no actors out there. And I did not get to go back into the Eddie Zone on Saturday. So I really didn't get to see much of Lights, Cameras, Action. I'm planning on doing that tomorrow, kind of doing a scare zone day where I just sit and look at everything and kind of get the atmosphere. But I loved what I saw. I love the set pieces. There are massive set pieces that they bring out after park close. And I know Mr. Jack the Clown kind of goes around the event on his own with a handler, and he will join Eddie in that zone sometimes. And that's really cool. And I hope to catch that this weekend. Gorewood was amazing. From what we actually walked through it, I think 3 times. That was the one zone I actually got to see. The knuckle grunts are the cutest motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life. And I want to just like boop their little snoots all the time. The ambiance is great. It's that Halloween zone. We got the lighting. We didn't get the lights in the trees or the pumpkins in the trees, but it's still the vibe to me. And I like that all the actors have these little caves that they run out of. I think that we need a few more actors. It's not very full, but I also think that they scaled down because of COVID. I'm trying to think, what was the next zone after that? I'm trying to do all the zones real fast. Crypt TV was way better than I expected. I actually started watching a lot of the Crypt TV shorts on YouTube the week leading up to opening night. And I got through most of the playlists that they made for, you know, HHN. And I wasn't vibing with a lot of it. My favorite that I watched was the Sunny Family Cult. I wasn't really into the Look-See series. I don't know why. I like the Look-See. I didn't like the series, if that makes sense. But seeing it in person, I think that zone is 10 times better than anything we've produced on YouTube. And that might sound really brutal, but I had so much fun. The characters, they really understood every assignment. Miss Anity is killing it. She's taking pictures and scaring every single person she scares. She scared Aaron, who is obsessed with spiders, every single time Aaron saw her. It was amazing. The Look-See is killing it. He is creepy. He's a little hot. I won't even lie. And I think I took like 3 selfies with him. I didn't like his shorts, but I loved him. Go see the Look-See, guys. He's really putting in work right now. what else? Seek and Destroy. Let's talk about Seek and Destroy for a moment. Seek and Destroy came out of nowhere and really did not have the right to be that good. I've seen a lot of hate online for it, but I had no bad experiences in this zone. And I'm not even a sci-fi girl. We know this. I talk about it all the time. The controller is a hot, like, biomechanical chick with, like, a face stapled to her. I don't know if that's the controller. I'm a little confused. The controller is either the face on the screen or the woman on the stage. Either or. But she is amazing. She's hot. She is making people get down on their knees and pledge allegiance to the controller. I saw a couple of videos. I think Duff actually was forced down on his knees. That was my favorite video I saw all weekend. I would go check it out. I would spend time in there if you guys could. They have the most actors like in a scare zone in Seek and Destroy. Granted, they have the most space. There's stilt walkers. There's, I really like the hoods they're wearing. I know that they had to change them after opening night because they were too shiny and the actors were having visibility issues. They're a little more matte now. I still don't mind them. I like them. Some people were complaining it looked like Among Us. I'm not really seeing that. I jokingly was like, oh, it looks like Among Us because of the faces and the cover, the hoods, I guess, or the masks. It really doesn't. I like that we've taken away the human in all of the actors because that's not what this zone is about. This zone is about harvesting humans. I'm really into it and I can't wait to spend more time in that one as well. And the last one I'm going to talk about is 30 Years, 30 Fears. Right now, this zone has a very special place in my heart and I'm going to get this out of the way. You guys probably saw it on Twitter, but I got engaged in 30 Years, 30 Fears on Saturday. Eugene, Wade, whatever you want to call him, you guys know him. We love him. He proposed in front of the icon sign in 30 Years. And it, I'm speechless. It was amazing. I've always wanted an HHN engagement. I'm going to tear up talking about it. A lot of people were there. A lot of people I didn't know in the zone were there because it's the front zone. But it didn't feel crowded. They got me to take a picture with Albert, with the caretaker. That's how they distracted me. And then I turned around and he had a Bride of Frankenstein lunchbox with the ring box inside of it. And then all of the Stiltwalker characters came over and the stage managers were taking pictures with us and all the actors. It was amazing. I believe it's Mike in Orlando. He got it on his vlog. If you guys want to check that out, it's on YouTube. I can link it below. I can't believe it. I'm engaged. Holy shit. I love you, Eugene. thank you to anyone who made it possible. I know a lot of people weren't able to be there. One, because it's HHN. My parents weren't able to be there, but we have a bunch of pictures. We have videos of it. And I couldn't be happier. And now I got a wedding to plan. But I feel like 30 years, 30 fears. I have a special connection to that zone now. So I don't think any of my reviews are going to be fair at the moment. But I just wanted to say thank you so much to anyone who wished us congratulations, who said anything on any social media, texted me, DM'd me, anything, or Eugene. We appreciate all of it so much. The outpouring of love is just as overwhelming as being engaged. Like, it's just amazing. And I love everyone who has congratulated us. Okay, let's talk about the houses now that that sappy shit's out of the way. Cece did like a ranking on hers out of 10. And I think we did that in our YouTube vlog as well. And I love that. So I'm going to keep that going. And I'm going to go in the same order and try not to kind of dwell too long. Cause I know Cece said a bunch of my opinions as well. Case Files blew me out of the water. I was not expecting kind of, you know, what it was. I knew it was going to be film noir. I knew it was going to be different stories, but you're walking into novels that Forrest Schuster wrote, which is like, oh my God, it's just, I don't know why it was just so shocking in an amazing way. Everything from the start of that house, you know, to the end, the transitions from that first room into the second room. Please pay attention the first time you go through this house. That first transition might be my favorite in all of HHN so far. I won't spoil it, but definitely check it out. The creatures in this house, some of them are reused. You can tell that some of the costumes are reused or repainted with masks, but I don't mind that. I'm almost positive our Yeti boys are in there, but in a completely different way. I really liked it. It felt like Slaughter Cinema. It felt like Slaughter Cinema, but novels and film noir novels. And Boris is everywhere in this fucking house. He's smoking a cigarette. All of that. We also have an actor who's mic'd. I won't ruin what they're doing or why they're mic'd, but it's amazing. And the representation in that role is also amazing to see. I'm trying to think without spoiling. This is so hard. That finale room is full of scares. I won't even lie. And we got a puppet. So that's those are little spoilers, but I feel like none of that is actually spoilery, if that makes sense. So definitely check it out. It's got creatures. It's got HHN lore. It's chock full of HHN lore. The legions are all over that house. And there's even a facade that was built that is directly from the park. So I would definitely go and check that house out. Please do not sleep on it. I really like it. I agree with Cece. I believe it is an 8 out of 10. And then when I went on Saturday, it was cranked up even more. It was a 9 out of 10. So Case Files is killing it. Do not sleep on that house. From there, our tour guide brought us to, I believe, Bride. So returning from HHN Light, the Universal Monsters of Bride of Frankenstein Lives. This house, I feel like got better. I didn't think it was possible. Taking down the plexiglass and adding vinyl, like they said, in the key areas has really helped. And Bride, I think, had the least amount of vinyl out of any house. I wasn't able to catch that fly scare, which I back in Light, I caught it almost every single day, but I did hear other people caught it, so it was there. I'm not sure what has changed minus that finale scene. Not much has changed, but something that I feel like really impacted it during Light in a negative way has been changed, and I think that that finale scene is kick-ass. This house was a 9.5 out of 10 for me. The only thing that I think would make it even better is if I hit every single scare. I just didn't have a perfect run, and I didn't have a perfect run on Saturday either, but that's okay. This house is killing it. The actors are killing it, and I can't wait to see what else happens. So yeah, 9 out of 10 for Brides. Where did we go from Brides? Oh my God. I think we went to Texas Chainsaw from there. I was not looking forward to this house, and we all know that based off of my hype list. But I will say, Leatherface, you changed my mind a little bit, boy. I won't even lie. I was not expecting to leave this house smiling. I was expecting to leave this house either terrified or just going, meh. But I left, and you'll see it in our vlog. It should be up in the next day or so. The vlog is taking me the longest. The walkthroughs are starting to come. I think half of them are already uploaded. But the vlog is taking the longest because there's a lot of footage. But you see in the vlog, I came out, and I was smiling. I was laughing. I had one of the best times that night in Texas. And maybe it's because the leather faces and the actors were playing to the cameras and stuff like that. But it was so good. I love the take on it. I love that it is the same house that we saw in 26, but everything is actually through a different door from a different view. So it might be the same room, but you're not looking at the same angle. And I don't know if this is a spoiler. If you don't want to hear the premise of the house or the one main point of the house, maybe skip 10 seconds right now. But you are the victim. There are no victims in Texas Chainsaw this year. So the guests are the victims, which I think is really cool. And it kind of makes everything a lot more fast paced. Spoilers over if you skipped it. It felt like the longest house to me. I think my video was like almost 7 minutes long. It was crazy. I also like what they did with the chainsaws. They're not all just jumping out and scaring us. They have other purposes. Yeah, I think I would give Texas maybe an 8 out of 10 on opening night, which is wild to me. The same as Case Files. I really loved that house. From Texas Chainsaw, we went over to, I believe, Tooth Fairy. Yes, because this is where they faked us out. Our tour guide brought us over to a wall that said, like, Icons holding area. And it was, I guess, where they hold RIP tours for Icons. But we were actually going into Revenge of the Tooth Fairy. So everyone was like, oh, are you ready, Jess? And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not. And then they said Tooth Fairy. And I was like, oh, I'm ready. Tooth, we know I have this love-hate relationship with Tooth Fairy. And it's not any of the actors in the house. It's just, I don't think it's for me. I don't think it was meant for me. Yeah, it's an original. I think it's kind of a take on Scary Tales, which is one of my favorite original concepts that they have. But it's just, it's not my favorite. I think the story is a little repetitive at some point. Sometimes I forget that there is this whole larger story and I just hear James screaming at me and the narrator just yelling the story. And I'm like, okay. I will say some of the changes that they made, though, did help it. It was not a bad house in any way. I did get some scares in there. There are some added actors that I noticed. There's something about the beginning of the house that was just hanging on the wall during Light and didn't have an actor near it. And we all knew there was supposed to be an actor there. There is now an actor there and scared the shit out of me. But I think the house is really good. I think it got a little darker, or maybe my eyes were just playing games on me. But it felt good. Again, just the pacing on this one. And I feel like I've always had pacing issues with Tooth Fairy. I feel like no matter what, I can't get a perfect run in it. And you know, you're never going to get the perfect run. But for a house that is not really something I'm into, a perfect run might help it, if that makes sense. I don't know. Tooth Fairy was probably like a 6 out of 10 for me on opening night. I did not do it on Saturday though. So I probably will go back in it and see, because I will say just from opening night to Saturday, there were a couple of changes in multiple houses and zones. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I won't list them all. They're minor. They're not big storyline changes or anything like that. But we know that the team at HHN, they're constantly making sure everything is up to par. And if it's not working, they change it. So I'm excited to see what changes tomorrow from Saturday. So yeah, Tooth Fairy was a 6. I expect that one to either go up or down throughout the season. I feel like it might fluctuate. But those little tooth goblins, they're really working it. This is nothing against the actors in that house or creative. It's just, I don't think it's for me. So from Tooth Fairy, I believe from there it was time. It was time for me to meet the icons. We've talked about it. I've talked about it till I'm blue in the face on this show. I have never seen them face to face. I was shaking going into Icons Captured, and this was the one house, I think our video has me like actually crying and like talking at one point, which I was trying to be silent in all the other walkthroughs. So they were just good walkthroughs for everybody, but this one I couldn't keep quiet. Holy shit. Y'all want to talk about a hot house. They made every single icon hot in this house. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's their environment. Maybe it's what's going on. Maybe I just have some underlying issues I haven't unpacked. But every single icon in this house is hot. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they do. This is the hot house, and you cannot tell me otherwise. All of my friends agree. The facade might be my favorite of the year. We'll see. That'll probably change. But right now, Icon's facade is fantastic. The totems are amazing. Maybe I'm going to spoil one thing. If you don't want to hear this, 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds to go. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say it. Okay. Daddy Kane is the first scare in that house. And holy shit, it's like they knew I was coming. Cece posted the picture on our Twitter, and it says like just seeing Daddy Kane for the first time or in awe. And that was legitimately my first time seeing him face to face. And that was my reaction. And for him to be, you know, where he was in the house was just like, are you fucking kidding me? But that house is so much fun. Every icon has their own room, at least. They all appear multiple times, but they all at least have their own room with a couple of different scares or scenes set up. It's amazing. We get Chance in both of her outfits, her original 2007 and her 2016. We get Jack. I don't think we get Jack in the full clown suit. I think that's only out and about in the park. This is the 25 Jack with the duster. The original run sign is in there. I will say, Chance, you're killing it. All of the chances in that house understand the assignment. They're all actually killing it. And, you know, we at the Scream Queens, we have a friend who might know Chance. She might know Chance. I just wanted to tell her that she was killing it both times. I went in on opening night, and I am so glad I got a picture with her. But yeah, and then the final scene, I don't think it's a spoiler because if you're on Twitter, you've seen it. The final scene changes. There's a throne and the icon changes every single time. So our first run through was Albert, was the caretaker. And I was such in La La Land filming everything else in the room that everyone was screaming at me to look at Albert, and I wasn't. And then when I finally looked up, I lost it. And you can hear it in the video. I'm like crying. I'm like, Daddy K. But for my first run through, for the first scare and the final, for him to be on the throne was just like, it was amazing. Icons was a 10 out of 10 for me. I've never missed a scare in that house. Even Fear's in there, and Mary. Mary is not how you think, but Mary is represented. But Fear is in there on stilts. Tree Daddy is there, guys. I wish he could go on the throne. That is one little spoiler. I don't think because of the stilts, I think he's not able to. But he is in the house. And yeah, we got to see the caretaker on the throne. And then on Saturday, I was able to see Jack and the usher. I'm sorry, not. I keep saying the usher. Jack and the director. And then I think we also saw Jack when we went through again on media night because our tour guide did take us through twice. Icons was a 10 out of 10 for me. There is only one other house that is in competition for that right now, and we'll get to that in a moment. But no one's going to sleep on Icons. I don't think they are, but I just wanted to say that is the hot house, and I will not hear anything besides. From there, we walked to the back of the park, and we got to do Beetlejuice, which, I mean, hey, it was amazing. I got to do it during light. I'm not going to lie. One thing is that nothing has changed from light. So if you got to experience it in light, I will say from what I saw on opening night and Saturday, nothing has been added and nothing has been taken away except the vinyl. I'm not disappointed. Please don't take that as I'm sad or anything. The house is still really fun. I think it's a better adaptation on a non-horror film than Ghostbusters was in 29. It's not a textbook house. Don't take it as that. It is out of order, but I think it makes it more fun and the flow is better. I consider it the party house. If you want to go laugh and have a good time, maybe it's a little overwhelming, all of the scares and everything, go into Beetlejuice, go dance around the house for 5 minutes, have some fun. It's really worth it. If you love this property, not even as much as I do, I think anyone would have fun knowing the source material. I'm going to be brutally honest because that's what I've been doing this entire time. Just, you know, just because we were invited out to media doesn't mean that we're going to say everything's amazing. Beetlejuice was about a 6.5 out of 10 for me on opening night. And it went down on Saturday to about a 5 on Saturday for me during my run through. So right now we'll meet in the middle. It's about a 5.5. Just because there were some changes that I think went backwards on Saturday, and maybe it was just a certain cast, but Facade Beetlejuice was not mic'd up like he was every other time I've seen him. And it really took away from the experience for not just me, but everyone in our group, because it was just the same 3 lines over and over and over again. And you're in that little zigzaggy beginning part. Again, that's not a spoiler. That's just the facade. You're in that zigzaggy part for like almost a minute sometimes. And hearing the same 3 lines over and over again is like, it's not it. I'm sorry. Whatever. So Beetlejuice, yeah, like I said, we'll give it like 5.5 between both days, averaging it out. Don't skip it. I would never skip this house. I think it deserves its spot. Beetlejuice has done a lot for not just Universal, but HHN as well. He was represented multiple times. And I think that having him at 30 makes a lot of sense. And I don't think that the house needs to be shit on. I think it's a really fun time. And it might be a gateway to a lot of people who maybe are too scared to go into something like, you know, Wicked Growth or Puppet Theater. Which, speaking of Puppet Theater, that was actually our next house. That's a lie. No, it was not. Oh my God. How did I skip this? Netflix is Haunting of Hill House. Oh my God. I'm a dumbass. Sorry. I am not going to lie to you. I had a terrible run through this on Friday. That's probably why I forgot about it. I know other people in our group loved it. Amazing. They said it was a fantastic run. I missed almost every single scare except the tall guy, the tall man, bowler hat guy, whatever we're calling him. I missed almost every single scare, which, I mean, in a house like that, I mean, in any house, you're there for the scares. I was there for the atmosphere, but that house is very dark. I couldn't see much of the sets without the actors' triggers going off. So, this was like a 5 for me. Saturday, I had a much better run. I hit more of the scares, still not all of them. So I will say this house seems to be having just some pacing issues. And maybe it's just because the triggers take too long to reset or something like that. So again, no fault to the actors. I'm not trying to say that. Saturday was fantastic. I hit way more of the scares. I hit way more of the set and everything. I was able to see a lot more. It was like a good 7 or 8 for me on Saturday. So I'm excited to see it tomorrow and see kind of if we've improved the pacing, if anything has changed, stuff like that. Now we're going into Puppet Theater. We did have a little break, I believe, after Hill House, but before Puppet Theater. We went back into the horror makeup lobby. We had some more refreshments and some desserts and stuff like that. And then we went back out. That Puppet Theater facade, when it is lit up at night, oh my God, that thing is gorgeous. Holy shit. The theater kid in me the entire time was just screaming with joy. It was so much fun. The costumes in this house are so cool and unique and different. Some of the scenes are different. There is a whole scene that uses old team member costumes. There's a Dueling Dragon costume in there, I believe, is what I was told. Definitely go check out Puppet Theater. I don't want to spoil anything because I think this one is one you just need to experience for yourself. It doesn't play to the theater kids. Don't take it that way. It was actually the Blood House, in my opinion. If any of these houses were gory, it was Puppet Theater. So don't sleep on it. Some of the scares are really inventive. And they got me like to the floor a couple of times. So go check it out. If you are in Puppet Theater and you're listening to this, if you're an actor, if you're ops or anything, y'all are killing it. I think I gave Puppet like, I believe in an 8 or a 9 on opening night. It was killer. And I don't think I went through it on Saturday. So again, another one I'm excited to go through again. From there we went over to, I did do it Saturday. I'm so sorry. Wow. Saturday was a blur. I was exhausted. I don't remember much of Saturday. But from there, we then went to the next house, which was Wicked Growth. And we did these like boom, boom, no time to breathe. I do not recommend doing that. I think I was in Wicked Growth and I like looked at Cece and I was like, I can't breathe right now. And my mask was like on my face and I was just like, we went into Wicked Growth. We did not get to see the facade. I did get to see it Saturday lit up at night. And oh my God, you want to talk about Halloween. This house is Halloween. What did I say? I think I looked at someone in my group and I was like, this house is shove a pumpkin up my ass and call me Halloween. I think that's what I said. But I love it. The facade is using all of those pumpkins from Trick or Treat and from Twisted Traditions, from that zone. And it has it on the facade. These pumpkins are also throughout the house. The facade lights up. You go through like this little tunnel. It's so beautiful, guys. And then this one is hands down my scariest house. Wicked Growth is a 10 out of 10 for me on scares and on details. This is the one that is fighting Icons for my number one spot. I'm kind of stuck between the two. And that's just because I say it all the time. I am a slut for traditional Halloween houses. Graveyard Games was that. And that is exactly why it's my top original. Wicked Growth might be coming for Graveyard Games' throat right now. I'm not even going to lie. It was amazing. You have fantastic. Like, I was thinking all pumpkin characters like reuse the Twisted Tradition masks. Some of them are in there, but some of these other characters are not that at all. And they're scary as shit. This is, Tuff and I were talking about it from 365. It was Twisted Traditions meets Scarecrow meets a little bit of Halloween 2, if that makes sense. So I don't want to spoil anything. This one's amazing. I will say the witches, you guys are my MVPs. Thank you for doing your work. I love you. And I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. Definitely check out Wicked Growth. If you love anything Halloween, this is probably going to be your house. It is fucking terrifying. And there is a bridge scare. Oh my God. And from there, we only have one last house to talk about. And that is going to be Welcome to Scary Horror in the Heartland back in the MIB tent. This is another one I'm going to have to be a little critical on. I have not had not even a great run. I haven't even had a good run in this house at all. Both times I've gone through it. And I don't want to blame anyone. I don't think it's anyone's fault. The house feels the shortest, and I know the tents are usually the shorter ones, but this one feels shorter than Wicked. It feels shorter than Puppet. It even feels shorter than House of a Thousand Corpses that was in the same spot in 29. I don't know if it's too much in one tent, because I think there's like 10 or 12 different houses represented in there from Carrie. But it really is having an issue with me on pacing. I feel like I'm missing everything. And not even just the scares. I feel like I'm not having enough time to go through and go, oh, that's that house. Oh, that is from that house. And again, maybe it's just too ambitious for too small of a space. Maybe this should have been in a soundstage. I'm still going to give it more chances. I'm definitely going to keep going through, because the things that I am finding in there, I'm obsessed with. We're able to see, you know, some people we haven't seen in a while, some characters. I got to see my first house ever represented in there, which was really cool. But I just need to give it more time. I think that this house needs to tweak a lot. It also was very bright in there the first time I went in, and it was not light outside anymore. So it wasn't light seeping in through the tent or anything. So I'm just curious. I think this is what disappoints me. Scary is actually lower, I think, than anything. No, that's a lie. Scary might be like my 8 or 9 right now on my list, but I'm not doing a ranking. I'm just saying on my personal list. But yeah, Scary was, again, like a 5 or a 6. It was not my favorite. I loved the lore. I loved the Easter eggs I could find. I am excited to go on Unmasking the Horror. I believe that is on our tour. So I'm excited to see it with the lights on and maybe get more of what I'm missing. I just feel like I'm missing too much in this house and there's too much in it. But yeah, so those are the 10 houses. We got to see a little bit of Marathon of Mayhem. I've said it before. I am not really a Marathon of Mayhem kind of a girl. What I saw of it, we only saw the last bit of it. It looked really good. I like that Jack was kind of the narrator. I wish each icon almost had a different part though, but I like it, from what I saw. I'm going to watch it again this week. the entire thing from start to finish. I just don't love having to stand for a show. So that's why I don't like the Lagoon shows. I want somewhere I can go and sit and get comfortable for 20, 30 minutes. I don't want to stand for 15 minutes while I'm waiting for the show and then stand another 10 while the show's on and then wait to file out of Central Park. It's just, it's a lot. And that's not really what I want to be doing on my night, but I understand why people love it. It's amazing. Can't wait to see more of it. Halloween Nightmare Fuel, I did not get to see at all. I think we are going to see it this weekend. Was the plan, but I have heard amazing things about this show, and I cannot wait to see this BDSM dance show on stage from what I've been told. But yeah, so that was those were my first impressions on the event and everything from Friday and Saturday. Again, I know CC already said this, but I want to say it as well. Thank you so much, Universal Orlando and Halloween Horror Nights, for inviting us out. This was something that we joked about, I believe, in like one of our first episodes. One of our listeners I met at the Tribute Store, I believe Stacy was her name. She said that she was listening to our old episode and she's like, it's crazy that you guys were talking about it and now it's happening. And I was like, I know. We were a little quiet about it because we weren't sure if we were allowed to say much until it happened. But thank you so much again to Universal for inviting us out and having us there to cover it. We were able to film in the houses and take pictures, which you're normally not allowed to do unless you're invited to this. So that was amazing. We do have our YouTube videos. I believe 5 of our walkthroughs are already up. By the time this episode's out, more of them might actually be up. But they all should be up by the end of today on Wednesday when this episode lives. All 10 of them, it's just highlights. We're not able to post all of it, but we do post a majority of the scares. If you're not looking to be spoiled, I would not watch those videos. We also will have a vlog coming out of opening night and everything that happened, everyone we were with, our opinions and all of that. That'll be coming out in the next day or so. That one's a beast and it's taking forever to edit. But our experience was amazing. I can't believe that we got to do something I've been dreaming about and joking about for years. Covering Halloween Horror Nights as media has been my dream for a very long time. I know that sounds crazy. I've talked about this event my entire life. I never shut up about it. So being able to go and getting credentials and being able to film and cover all of this for you guys means the world, not only to me, but I know to Cece as well. So thank you all so much for listening, for supporting us, for tweeting us, for subscribing to our YouTube, for liking, for anything you've done at all in the last... What are we at? We're at 1 year and 2 months. Holy shit. If you've done anything, if you've bought a sticker, if you met up in the parks and I gave you a sticker, just know that we both love you so much from the bottom of our hearts. And without you, none of what happened on Friday was ever going to be possible. So I'm getting a little choked up. Thank you so much. We love you guys. I didn't have any news this week. That was our initial, I hope spoiler free for the most part, instant reaction. Definitely go check out Angel's Etsy shop and we will be We will be back next week with another episode together. This week was just a little crazy for us. So please forgive us. Go check out our YouTube. I have all that linked below. Our Twitter is at ScreamQueens85. I am at Beetlejess. CC is at CCTron. If you want to talk to us, also come find us in the parks, especially this weekend. We got our glitter leather daddy chainsaw gang stickers in. So if you want one, you got to find us. We are not going to be selling these stickers at all. We decided the leather daddy stickers will not be sold. You got to come find us to get them in the parks. So definitely find us. We'll be tweeting anytime we're out and kind of what we're wearing and what we look like. And yeah, come find us. We'll go through some houses together maybe if you guys are down. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. I know this episode was weird. I know it's a little bit, you know, cut and paste, but we love you guys. And we will see y'all in the fog. Holy shit, it's HHN season. And don't forget to scream, queens. Bye.